The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 19, Texts Number 19 through 28. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on April 25th, 2012, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, today is a Sanja. It's a major turning point. Today we are finishing the 6th canto of the Bhagavatam. And tomorrow we begin the 7th canto. There's only, of all these verses here, there's only one that has a purport. So what we'll do is, I'm not going to do them responsibly, I'm just going to read through. I'll read all of them and then we'll go back to the one with the purport and we'll discuss the
purport.
So today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 19, Texts 19 through
28.
Since 25 has been written on the board now, we'll go ahead and we'll chant that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etat Sharadva Vidhivat Vratam Vibho Abhipsita Artam Labhate Puman Iha Stri Cha Etat Astaya Labheta Savagam Shriyam Prajam Jivapatim Yasha Graham Etach Charitva Vidivad Vratam Vibor Abhip Sitaratam Labhate Puman Iha Stri Chaitadastaya Labheta Saubhagam Shriyam Prajam Jiva Patim Yasho Griham Echach Charitva Vidivad Vratam Vibhur Abhipsatardham Labhate Pramaniha Shri Chaita Dastaya Labheta Saubhagam Shriyam Prajam Jiva Patim Yasho Griham Etat This Charitva Performing Vidhivat According to the injunctions of Shastra Vratam Vow Vibho From the Lord Abhipshita Desired Artam Object
Objectus
Labhete Gets Puman A man Iha. In this life.
Shemekinam.
Stri. A woman.
Motis.
Cha.
And.
Ir.
Etat.
This.
Shita.
Astaya. Performing.
Atliekant.
Labeta.
Labeta.
Can get.
Galima gaut.
Saubagam.
Good fortune.
Sekme.
Shriyam. Opulence.
Purtus.
Prajam.
Progeny.
Jivapatim. A husband with a long duration of life. Yashaha. Good reputation. Griham. Home.
Ramos.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this vow or ritualistic ceremony, rather, if this vow or ritualistic ceremony is observed according to the description of Shastra, even in this life a man will be able to achieve all the benedictions he desires from the Lord. A wife who performs this ritualistic ceremony will surely receive good fortune, opulences, sons, a long-living husband, a good reputation, and a good home. Purpur. In Bengal, even today, if a woman lives for a long time with her husband, she is considered very fortunate. A woman generally desires a good husband, good children, a good home, prosperity, opulence, and so on. As recommended in this verse, a woman will receive all these desirable benedictions, and a man will also be able to receive all benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, by performing this particular type of vrat, a man and woman in Krishna consciousness will be happy in this material world. Because of being Krishna conscious, they will be promoted to the spiritual world. So now we'll read what the actual ritual is.
We will read.
Beginning with text 19. One should accept this Vishnu vrata, which is a vow in devotional service. And one should not deviate from its execution to engage in anything else. By offering the remnants of prasad, flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, and ornaments, one should daily worship the brahmanas and worship women who peacefully live with their husbands and children. Every day the wife must continue following the regulated principles to worship Lord Vishnu with a great devotion. Thereafter Lord Vishnu should be laid in his bed, and then one should take prasad. In this way, husband and wife will be purified and will have all their desires fulfilled. The chaste wife must perform such devotional service continuously for 1 year. After 1 year passes, she should fast on the full moon day in the month of Kartik. On the morning of the next day, one should wash oneself after worshipping Lord Krishna as before, and one should cook as one cooks for festivals, as stated in the Griha Sutras. Sweet rice should be cooked with ghee, and with this preparation the husband should offer oblations to the fire 12 times. Thereafter he should satisfy the brahmanas. When the satisfied brahmins bestow their blessings, he should devotedly offer them respectful obeisances with his head, and with their permission he should take prasad. Before taking his meal, the husband must first seat the acharya comfortably, and along with his relatives and friends should control his speech and offer prasad to the guru. Then the wife should eat the remnants of the oblations of sweet rice cooked with ghee. Eating the remnants ensures a learned, devoted son and all good fortune. If an unmarried girl observes this vrat, she will be able to get a very good husband. A woman who is a vira, who has no husband or son, execute this ritualistic ceremony, she can be promoted to the spiritual world. A woman whose children have died after birth can get a child with a long duration of life and also become very fortunate in possessing wealth. If a woman is unfortunate, she will become fortunate, and if ugly, she will become beautiful. By observing this vrat, a diseased man can gain relief from his disease and have an able body with which to work. If one recites this narration while offering oblations to the pitas and demigods, especially during the Shraddha ceremony, the demigods and inhabitants of Pitri Loka will be extremely pleased with him and bestow upon him the fulfillment of all desires. After one performs this ritualistic ceremony, Lord Vishnu and his wife Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, are very pleased with him. O King Parikshit, I have now completely described how Diti performed this ceremony and had good children, the Maruts, and a happy life. I have tried to explain this to you as elaborately as possible. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th Canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Performing the Punksa Vana Ritualistic Ceremony, end of the 6th Canto. Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitamscha. So, the obvious question.
Thank you, Klausimus.
After hearing about all these benedictions you can receive by doing this ceremony, the obvious question is, well, should we be doing it? This is why Guru is required. Shastra is there, and Guru is there. From Guru we learn how to practically apply Shastra. Prabhupada never told us to do this ritual. In fact, Diti did this ritual for what purpose? To have good children. Prabhupada told us what to do to have good children. As I've been explaining recently, husband and wife should be initiated. They should get the spiritual master's permission to try to have a child. They should have sex life once in a month after the woman's menstrual cycle. After they both chanted at least 50 rounds of japa. And then once the child is conceived, they should be fully absorbed in Harikatha. So the child is hearing the vibrations within the womb. There's constant Harikatha going on in the home. And when the child comes out, the parents should see that they are always engaged in devotional service without any deviation. If there's a television set in the house, get rid of it. And always engage your child along with you in devotional service. This is what Prabhupada told us for having good children. So this ritual is not for us. These instructions of Prabhupada, they are for us. But there's many nice things we can learn from in this ritual that we can use in Krishna's service. The first point is that one should always be absorbed in devotional service without any deviation. Offering prasad, flower garlands, decorations, daily worship. Here's an interesting one: worship women. Those women who are chaste women, we're supposed to worship them. So we have Mataji Arati, or what should we do? No. We call them mother. We worship, you are my mother, and that way we worship them. There's also, it describes putting Lord Vishnu in his bed. Now that means deity worship. So this deity worship is very important also. We have our temple where we can all do deity worship together as a spiritual family. If householders want to worship deities on their own, Gornitai, what they should get. Unless you are highly advanced, second initiated devotee, and you're authorized by your spiritual master, don't get Radha Krishna. Because there's seva aparads that will hurt your devotional service if you're not very, very diligent to always bathe and dress the deities every morning, always sewing new outfits for them, etc. So the best thing is to come here every day and worship here. If you can't do that, then you can have Gornitai deities. And treat them with great love and devotion, as described here. And here it says the wife should perform devotional service for 1 year. But why only 1 year? Whole lifetime. Cooking sweet rice with ghee, that sounds like a nice idea. Satisfying the Brahmins. That's a very good point. We have to deal with the Vaishnavas in such a nice way, you see. We shouldn't be disrespectful to the Vaishnavas. We should deal with the devotees in such a way that the devotees are pleased. In other words, the way I speak to you, the way I deal with you, I must make you happy. I must enliven you by my association, you see. In this way, we should always deal with the devotees in such a way that we enliven and make enthuse them and make them happy. Satisfying them. Don't disturb the Vaishnavas by your behavior. That is not a very good thing. Always satisfy the devotees by your behavior. Devotee means very sweet, very pleasing. Just like a the cooling moonshine. This material world is like the scorching sun. It's very disturbing to the brain. But the Vaishnava, he's like the cooling moonshine. He takes all the disturbance away. As soon as we see a Vaishnava, immediately all our anxiety goes, you see. So we should all become such Vaishnavas who can dissipate the burning anxieties of the heart. Who can dissipate these anxieties by our wonderful Vaishnava qualities. It mentions here taking permission before taking prasadam. That is actually a Vedic injunction. Not that, according to the Vedic system, prasadam is not just, oh, I want to eat pops and prasadam in the
month.
One should very respectfully honor prasadam. Actually, the Vedic injunction is a brahmachari should not take prasadam. Unless his spiritual, he should not take prasadam. Unless his spiritual master says, now, my dear disciple, you take prasadam. And a house order, he is not to take prasadam until he has gone out in the front of his house. He's announced to everyone, if anybody is hungry, please come and take prasadam. So in this way, prasad is, there's some principle in taking prasad. We have the invitation of our spiritual master. We have that we offered prasad to everyone first before we took. Actually, this prasadam is a very wonderful thing. I remember when I joined our society, the young boy back in 1971, they told me, they said, well, you have to please the spiritual master, that's how you make advancement. I was thinking, well, how will I know if he's pleased? I mean, he's somewhere on the other side of the world. He's not here in Austin. I don't know if I please him or not. And then we also found out, when you take prasadam, Prabhupada is pleased. So I thought, oh yes, I can handle this movement. By taking prasadam, I can please Prabhupada, my pleasing Prabhupada, I make advancement. Then, just by taking prasadam, I can make advancement. Ki jai. So, some other nice points. Before taking prasadam, the husband should first see that the spiritual master is seated very comfortably. In other words, Guru Seva is more important than satisfying the tongue. More important thing. It says, along with his relatives and friends, he should control his speech and offer prasad to the Guru. That's a very interesting point. That means you need to make your relatives and friends Krishna conscious. Engage them in serving, assisting you in serving your spiritual master. That's an interesting point. And then finally, after the guru has gotten the prasad, then the wife will take the sweet rice cooked with the ghee. So that's how the ceremony works. So actually we all get the same benefit. But we have one ritualistic ceremony we do in this age. The Harinams and Kirtan, you see. Sankirtan Yagya.
Sankirtan Yagya.
This is our Yagya for this age. All the blessings and benedictions described in the Pumsa Vana ritualistic ceremony can be achieved just by doing this Namas and Kirtan. This is the time of Chaitanya's movement, you see. There's so many Vedic rituals. Hundreds and thousands of Vedic rituals. But we don't have to worry about learning all these rituals. We will just do this Namas and Kirtan. If we will just come together and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, and we'll achieve all benedictions. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Brahman.
Usually, when you do all this offering of prasadam, it becomes cold in at the end. And when you take this cold prasadam, how it is?
You can warm it up. Any other question?
Mamai didį turėjo gimti sūnus būtent tos ceremonijos dėka. Ir kokiu būdu jisai tas sūnus turėjo nužudyti Indrą? For Mother Diti, this born child was... Mother Diti got a child.
She got the maruts.
And then it was destined that this child should kill Indra. In which way?
This is the maruts. This is a plural. This is a plural number of children.
Čia daugiskite, yra daug vaikų gimė.
Turėjo
gimti. Should...
Roots is plural. It's more than one child. So you're mentioning one child or many children?
So the question is, the Diti wanted to have a children who could kill Indra. In which way he could this with his qualities or what, how he can overcome Indra?
This wasn't discussed here in this part, and I'm not familiar with that, so I can't say. Any other questions? Yeah.
So, how we should properly understand humility? For example, in material world, people usually think that humble person is weak. But Arjuna was a great warrior, and he was humble, and he was not weak. So, how not to cross this edge between humility and inferiority?
Kaip suprasti teisingai tą nuolankumą? kad tas malonumas, nes malonumas gali būti su
būna. Kaip teisingai suprasti malonumą, nes materialiame pasaulyje žmonės paprastai galvoja, kad nuolankus žmogus yra silpnas. Bet Arjuna buvo puikus karys ir jisai buvo nuolankus ir jisai nebuvo silpnas. Tai kur yra riba tarp nuolankumo ir nepilnavertiškumo komplekso?
It is sometimes said,
yra sakoma,
a lamb at home and a lion in the chase.
Avelė namie, o liūtas gatvė.
So before our spiritual master, we are very humble. Whatever Guru Maharaj tells us to do, we accept it as our life and so. But when it comes to actually carrying out his order, we become very aggressive. That aggressiveness is not pride.
Tas agresyvumas nėra išdidumas.
That aggressiveness is our humility. We're surrendering to our spiritual master.
Tas agresyvumas yra mūsų nuolankumas, pasiduodant dvasiniam
mokytojui. The spiritual master has told us, Prabhupada has ordered us to make the whole world Krishna conscious.
Dvasinis mokytojas mums duoda nurodymą padaryti visą pasaulį Krishna sąmoningu.
So our humility is our complete dedication to trying to do that.
Tai mūsų nuolankumas yra pilnas pasiryžimas tai padaryti.
But in doing that, we can be very, very aggressive. Hanuman was very humble before Ram. But very aggressive before Ravana. That aggressiveness before Ravana was not pride, that was his humility to Lord Ram. So real humility is means you become unlimitedly powerful. The generally humble person becomes an instrument in the hands of Krishna. And because of his complete submission to Krishna, he possesses what is known as Krishna Shakti, the energy of Krishna. And by that energy of Krishna, he becomes the most powerful person. This is confirmed in the Bible also. Lord Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So if you want to become strong, bring your senses under control. Bring your false ego under control. Completely surrender yourself to the spiritual master. And then you'll become unlimitedly strong for pushing forward Krishna consciousness on this planet. Does that answer your question?
Okay.
Yes.
Kaip nesumaišyti agresyvumą su pykčiu, nes kartais atliekant veiklą, kartais baisu atlikti kažkokią veiklą, nes galvoju, kad tai pyktis.
We should distinguish anger between this aggressiveness, because sometimes when one wants to render some service, he's afraid because it could be anger, not the anger,
not humility,
but anger. Yes, aggressiveness and not
anger is sometimes a very good thing. It is called divine anger. Prabhupada became very angry sometimes. Just like one time in Los Angeles, there were some devotees, they were trying to jump into their rasa. You see, you can't realize your rasa actually until you're completely liberated soul. You can't choose a rasa or pick a rasa or know your rasa. But a liberated soul, once he comes to the asakti stage, Prabhupada explains in the Naradi Bhakti Sutra, he automatically realizes the rest. So there was a group of devotees in Los Angeles who were very interested to immediately jump to their rasa, you see, with Krishna. As I was explaining last night, Prabhupada was sitting down to take his breakfast. He picked up a piece of fruit from his plate. He's about to put it in his mouth. And then Pajumna told him about these devotees that were trying to jump to the rasa. Prabhupada became so angry. That piece of fruit never made it to his mouth. He put that fruit down on the plate. He called the GBCs. He called the temple president. And he called the leaders of this rasa club. And he was very angry. He was roaring like a lion. His lips, you can read this in Hari Sarvaprabhu's diary, the whole description of this pastime. When Prabhupada would get angry, his upper lip would quiver. Upper lip. He told them, first deserve, then desire. You see, they were desiring their rasa, you see. He said, first deserve, then desire. He told them, you're not qualified to jump to your rasa. He said, just do the service you were given. That was Prabhupada's order. So is that mundane, that anger? That anger was pure transcendental. Unfortunately, the devotee who was the leader of this rasa club, he left the movement after getting chastised by Prabhupada. But so if a devotee uses anger in Krishna's service, that's transcendental. I've many times told the story how I used anger that one time on that hippie in Gainesville. It was very effective preaching tool. I was passing out Simply Wonderfuls on the street. And this smart aleck hippie, he thought he'd have a little fun with me. So he took all the assemblies and he hit them and he threw them out in the street. Can you imagine how offensive that is? To throw up a shot of it in the middle of the street, the cars are going to run over it. I mean, it was very offensive. So did I think, well, Trinadapi Sanichina. I have to be humble. No way. I didn't hit him. I was never a fighter. I have no power to hit anybody anyway. But I'm pretty good at being dramatic. So I yelled at him in such a way I scared the living hell out of the guy. I took my finger. I'll pretend like you're the hippie. Okay. You got long hair, see. I said, and this is only a mild version of what I actually did. Because if I did it the full version, I would hurt my ears. And my throat's already sore. Give me a second. But I said, you better get out there and pick up those sweets right now. And it worked. He like snapped out of his little smart aleck hippie trip and became a humble devotee for all of a sudden. He ran out in the street and picked up all the sweets. Because I used anger on the guy. It actually worked. It helped, snapped him out of his little false ego trip. It wasn't like uncontrolled anger that I, you know, took a knife and cut his throat or something like that. I did it in a very controlled, cool-headed way. I was very cool on the inside, but I looked like Nisringadev on the outside. And it was very effective. So anger is definitely something you can use in Krishna service. But you have to be careful. You got to really know what you're doing and doing it in the right place and the right time. If you do it out of false pride, then you get a heavy, heavy, heavy reaction. It's aparad. If you do it out of false pride, just out of ego, then it's you get a very bad reaction. But if you do it for a legitimate Krishna conscious purpose, legitimate means a lawful purpose. It's like the parent has to chastise the child. Otherwise the child will become rascal. The spiritual master has to chastise the disciples. Otherwise they become rascals. So one who is instructing others, sometimes he has to show anger if it's necessary. So they take his point seriously. So anger has its position in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer the question? Okay, question.
Мене доміна попрості жанишкі сантики та шімо з бролю. Попроста і ратікимося, як вірясні з бролі, з палайки сівнясні, рямсі морališки. Тобто релігія ракета, попроста і то не безславка, і візал того пакету ретик, куди то бути такі сантики?
Тоді, тікимося, як вірясні з бролі, з палайки сівнясні. Palaiko jaunesnį brolį, bet šiais laikais to jau nebematome. Kokie turėtų būti santykiai?
Usually the older brother should support the younger brother, but these days it's not happening.
Support in what way?
Kokiu būdu palaikyti?
Money?
Moral
support.
Yes, moral support and friendly support.
Friendly, moral. But these days it's not happening. The dealing should be...
Well, see, the whole society is falling apart because it's not Krishna conscious. The only way you can really solve the social problems is to bring God back to the center. It's a fact. The younger brother doesn't respect the older brother. The older brother doesn't take good care of the younger brother. That's a fact. Because we have forgotten God, that's why. So if you bring God back to the center, the older brother is God conscious, then he will naturally be very kind and supporting to the younger brother. And if the younger brother is God conscious, he will naturally respect his older brother. So, how they will become God conscious? Let them both chant Hare Krishna. Let the two brothers come together and do kirtan. And then they'll have a wonderful relationship. Any other questions? Yeah.
Mes matom, kad laikam bėgant mūsų kūnas sensta ir jam reikia tinkamos priežiūros. Ir dažniausiai atsitinka taip, kad sutrinka sveikata. Tad reikia gerti kažkokius vaistus, kuriuos išrašo gydytojai. Tokiu atveju dauguma tų vaistų yra daug baisesnių už likerį ir cigaretės. Ir tada atsidavusiu reikia gyventi, kai jisai, legaliai tarsi laužo principus.
The body gets older and sickness comes, and then we need to take medicine. But these days medicine is even worse than cigarettes and alcohol. How should devotee live while this medicine is like breaking the principles, like because it's even more worse than cigarette and alcohol?
Well, if medicine is required, even if it intoxicates you, you may have to just take it. Yeah. You actually absolutely need it.
Jeigu absoliučiai reikalingas tas vaistas, nors ir jisai yra intoxikacija.
If you take a medicine that makes you intoxicated and there's no other medicine for your disease, then that's not breaking the principle.
Jei yra vaistas, kuris tave apsvaigina, jis yra būtinai reikalingas tau ligai, tai nėra atskaitamas principo laužimu.
It's like even cough syrup has an intoxicating effect.
Kaip ir kosėjimo tas sirupas turi intoxikuojančių medžiagų.
Yeah.
Medicine one takes for getting better.
Uh-huh.
And intoxication and cigarette, they take it for sense gratification. Medicine, we don't take it for sense gratification.
Medicine for?
Medicine is not taken for sense gratification.
Yeah,
that's right. Vaistai nėra priimami dėl juslinio pasitenkinimo. Alkoholis ir kitos svaiginančios priemonės dėl juslių yra priimamos.
So even if the medicine has it, if you take the medicine for a legitimate health reason, it's not considered, it's not illicit to do them.
Ir jeigu vaistai yra priimami dėl pateisinamos priežasties, tai nėra principų laužimas.
But not in the name of medicine, I do sense gratification.
Bet jei dėl vardan vaistų darot kažkokį tai juslių tenkinimą.
It's like someone say, well, you know, when I get an anxiety and I smoke marijuana, I feel better, so it's a medical reason. You're an anxiety chant Hare Krishna. Actually, if you will strictly follow our regulated principles, your health will be much better anyway. The more you can chant 16 rounds and follow these four principles, you become more healthy. It's like I'm a senior citizen, but my health is very good. Because for 40 years I'm chanting and following these principles. Yeah.
Tada klausimas, ar turėtų atsidavę, kurie turi labai sunkias ligas, ypatingai psichinės ligas, kurie geria tokius vaistus, kurie galbūt jos padaro nestabilius ir neracionalius, tarnauti šventykloje ir būti tarp atsidavusių.
So when a devotee have a mental problems and he takes very heavy medicine, and this medicine like makes him even like very, how it's called, space out or something, should he render service in temple in such situation?
If he can keep it together and not go crazy, yeah. Actually, this is a big fault of our modern-day civilization. All these psychological, these with psychiatric drugs, it's a big problem. If somebody's depressed, they give you an antidepressant drug.
It
becomes a lifetime addiction. And if you somehow forget to take your antidepressant drug, then you go crazy. Why is this going on? The propaganda of the drug companies. It's simply greed. They're making big money, millions of dollars off of it. So they pay off the politicians to legalize it. And it's a whole scam going on, all these psychiatric drugs.
prasideda tas visų psichologijos.
The fact is, once you start taking them, it's very difficult not to take them.
Ir kai tu pradedi juos vartoti, labai sunku juos atsikratyti.
When I was a kid, I was very depressed.
Buvo labai sunerimęs.
But they didn't have the drugs at that time, I'm thankful.
Bet tuo metu nebuvo antidepresantų, tai aš labai dėkingas dėl to.
But I found a drug that was really good for curing depression.
100%
effective. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. There's no side effects. It's free. The ultimate drug. So you have some point, Debbie?
Yeah, I was just thinking, yeah. It's say something about the drug companies and all that, but it is just that we haven't the root cause is that we are not Krishna conscious. The root cause is we are not Krishna conscious. That's why we have all these problems.
Mes kalbam apie vaistų kompanijas, bet pagrindinė, šakninė priežastis yra, kad mes nesam Krishna sąmoningi.
Yeah, if we were Krishna conscious, they wouldn't have any customers, that's right.
Jo, mes būtume iš tikrųjų Krishna sąmoningi, jie neturėtų jokių klientų.
Any other question?
Как санкиртна-йоги влияет на ситуацию в мире?
Влияет?
Да,
что это значит влияет?
Какие итака даро? Какие итака даро? Лишь на самом
What effect makes What effect makes Sankirtana Yagya for this world? Mm-hmm. What effect makes Sankirtana Yagya for this world?
The what is the effect that Sankirtana Yagya has on this world?
Koks yra efektas, kurią padaro Sankirtanas Yagya?
It is beneficial in every possible way.
Tai yra nauda visais įmanomis būdais.
The first thing is it brings the proper amount of rain.
Visų pirma, tai tinkamas kiekis lietaus.
And if the rain is there,
jei yra lietus,
then you can get food.
Gali gauti maistą.
It creates an atmosphere where people love each other and they don't hate each other. It creates an atmosphere where people are satisfied just for the simple necessities of life. The greed goes away. The fear goes away. Actually, in every way, we read how in the Vedic ages, nature fully cooperated with the Vedic kings to create a wonderful atmosphere. It wouldn't be too hot. It wouldn't be too cold. There wouldn't be drought. There wouldn't be flooding. Everything was balanced very nicely. So if we can... This, by the performance of the Sankirtan Yagya, it counteracts all the inauspicious effects of the age of Kali. People live long, healthy lives. You didn't have all these diseases like we have now. People dying, you know, children dying before their parents die, you see. All these unnatural things. They are symptoms of the age of Kali. And the more we perform Sankirtan Yagya, it drives Kali Yuga back. It defeats Kali. And brings in a Satya Yuga like atmosphere Prabhupada explains. So, keep doing this Sankirtan Yagya. In the temple, on the street, and most importantly, by massive book distribution.
All these material things, what you mentioned, is secondary, but it reveals our why we are existing. Now you know who you are, and live what you are.
No, and
be who you are. All the anxieties go away, isn't that correct?
Yes, yes. That's
the most kad tai padeda mums būti tai, kas mes esam, ir gyventi tuo, kas mes esam. Ar tai teisingai?
So the question is, is it correct to understand that it gives the ultimate benefit of people finding and realizing who they are and actually being able to be who they are? That's a thing. That's dead. Yes, the answer is yes. But the ultimate benefit of the Sankirtan Yagya is people realize I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So I'm going to allow one more question.
Pasirinkti,
nu, kaip ta, pykti, ar tiesiog toleruoti, kaip teisingai pasirinkti, abiem atvejais gali pasiūlyti. Kai reikia elgtis labai greitai, yra ta situacija svarbi, kaip reikia reaguoti, ar pasirinkti, pykti, ar toleruoti. Taip?
Kaip teisingai pasirinkti.
If there is urgent situation and you need to act very fast, what you should choose? Anger or tolerance? How to...
It depends on the situation.
Labai priklauso nuo situacijos.
The answer is super soul.
Super soul, paramatma.
Atsakymas, paramatma.
You have to think, what is the most advantageous thing for pleasing Krishna? That's what you have to think. And then on the basis of your sincere desire to please Krishna...
Ir būtent tas nuoširdus noras patenkinti Krishna.
Actually, even when you're angry, you have to be tolerant at the same time.
Ir netgi kai esi piktas, tuo pat metu reikia būti tolerantišku.
You can do both at the same time.
Galima daryti abu vienu metu.
You can be very angry in a very tolerant way also.
Galima būti piktu ir tolerantišku nuotaiku.
Instead of killing them, you just chastise them.
Vietoj to, kad nužudyti, galima ir subarti.
That means you're being tolerant and angry at the same time. Now you have to actually see what's beneficial for this person. You have to sincerely, the real key is this, you have to be a genuine well-wisher. And Krishna says, Teishang satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. For those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them all intelligence. So chant, every day chant, very good rounds. Always be reading Prabhupada's books. Always be hearing transcendental lectures. Always be engaged in serving and remembering Krishna. And then with these kind of... these things happen, you'll know how to deal with them. And you can always check with some senior Vaishnava afterward to make sure you did the right thing. Sometimes we have to learn by doing the wrong thing also.
Sometimes
we have to learn by doing the wrong thing. We tried our best to do the right thing, but it was obvious after we did it, it wasn't the right thing. So you should always study and see what did I do and what was the result of doing that. And that way you can train yourself how to become more expert at dealing with all kinds of situations. Expertise is not something you develop in a second. Expertise is something that's developed over a whole lifetime. So you just have to try to be expert at dealing with all the situations. But take advantage of a senior association. People, devotees who have a lot more experience than you, take advantage of their experience by inquiring from them. That's what we did with Prabhupada. We asked Prabhupada so many questions about this situation and that situation. Prabhupada told us. So we'll stop here. Tonight there'll be a lecture at the Vedic Culture Center.
Šiandien Vedų centre bus paskaita.
Everybody's invited.
Visi pakviesti.
Ačiū labai.
Jis greičiu man sankašanė dikai maračkį.
Yeah.